you have your Bibles, we'll turn to to Exodus chapter 17. To Exodus chapter 17. Our text is really found in 1 Corinthians 10 and verse 4, but we'll really be dealing with the portion that we've read together in Exodus chapter 17. Let's unite our hearts together and let's pray for God's blessing to be upon the preaching of the Word of God tonight. Father in heaven, we come to Thee in the name of Christ. We acknowledge our weakness. We acknowledge, Lord, we need Thee. We need Your wisdom. We need Your strength and power to preach the unsearchable riches of Christ. And I pray Thou will give us Your Holy Spirit. We read in Thy Word, if ye then being evil know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them who ask Him. And we ask you, Lord, now in this meeting, to give us your Holy Spirit, that we may preach Christ in all of His fullness, that you'll touch the hearts of the unsaved in this meeting, and that will bring them from their spiritual death to spiritual life, abundant life, the eternal life that is found in the Lord Jesus Christ. Close us in with Thyself, and give us all a blessing, we pray, in Jesus' great name. Amen. 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 4, it says, and that rock was Christ. And that rock was Christ. At the very heart and center of the gospel is the Lord Jesus Christ. There is no gospel without Christ. There is no salvation without the Lord Jesus Christ. Everything for eternity and everything in salvation rests upon the Lord Jesus. In 1 Corinthians 3 and verse 11 we read, for all our foundation can no man lay that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. And Paul, writing to the church, reminds us people, there's no other foundation. You don't have to erect a new foundation. But he says there is no other foundation for salvation other than the one that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. You see, in salvation, the Lord Jesus is the sinner's rest. In Matthew 11 and verse 28, the Lord Jesus said some of the greatest words that you'll ever find in the Bible. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. And here's the call of Christ to sinners. Come unto me. Doesn't matter who you are. Doesn't matter how many sins you have committed. Come unto me, he says, and I will give you rest. You'll never find rest till you find Christ. You'll never find peace till you find Christ. There are people tonight looking for peace in the world, rest in the world, but you'll never find it in the world. You'll never find it in any other churches. You'll only find true spiritual rest when you find Christ. And I'm glad I found rest the day I found Christ. He is the sinner's redeemer in salvation. Job said in Job 19 verse 25, for I know my Redeemer liveth, and that he shall stand at the latter day upon the earth. And Job didn't know a lot of things. He didn't know why all the trouble. He didn't know why he lost his family. He didn't know why he lost his possessions. He did not know why he lost his health. But he knew this. He had a Redeemer. He had one who would come to redeem him. One who would shed his blood. One who would cleanse him. One who would save him. He knew Christ. And in salvation, Christ is the sinner's redeemer. He redeems and he saves. And there's no other redeemer. And in salvation, he's the sinner's refuge. He keeps him safe from the wrath of God to come. And the Bible teaches the wrath of God will come. And John the Baptist, he preached that very same message about the wrath of God to come. And I'm glad in this world there is a refuge.
And there is one refuge, and it is the Lord Jesus Christ. In Romans 8 and verse 1 it says, there is therefore thy no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. And there are people, and they're in Christ, and they're trusting Christ, and they're saved, and they'll never be touched. No condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. You see, in salvation He is our rest, He's our Redeemer, He's our refuge, but according to the words of our text, He is our rock. He is the rock of salvation. Lord Jesus said that Himself in Matthew 16, verse 18, I say unto thee, thou art Peter, and upon this rock, and the rock is Christ. And also we can say, David said in 2 Samuel 22 and verse 2, and he says, the Lord is my rock. And Christ is the rock of our salvation. He is one we can rest upon. He is one that we can depend upon. He is the rock of salvation. And we find this in the Bible. We're brought face to face in this passage with the rock. Christ is our rock. Here the Apostle Paul in 1 Corinthians 10 was bringing the Christians back in history to this time. We read together in Acts chapter 17. The people thirsted for water, and they cried against Moses. And Moses was commanded by God to go and to strike a rock, and water came out of this rock. And here we find in the New Testament interpretation of this passage, it tells us very, very plainly and simply that that rock was Christ. The rock's a picture of Christ. Because in salvation, He is the rock of our salvation. And I want to speak a few things about the rock of our salvation tonight. I want to say, first of all, in this passage in Acts, the choosing of the rock. Now, the choice of this rock was a divine choice. Now, we can see clearly here that the rock that Moses had to smite was chosen by God. Because in verse 5 it says, and the Lord said unto Moses, go on before the people, and take with thee of the elders of Israel thy rod, wherewith thou smotest the river, take in thy hand and go, and behold, I will stand before thee there upon the rock in Horeb. Now God is saying unto Moses, I will choose the rock. It was not Moses that chose the rock. It was not the elders of Israel that chose this rock. No, this was God. And God says to Moses, go to the rock. And notice this. It was called the rock. And the rock was chosen by the Lord. Not left to Moses. The choice was not left to the elders. But here we can see it was God who chose the rock. God chose it. You look at the words in verse 6 of this passage. And God said unto Moses in Acts 17 and verse 6, behold, I will stand before thee there upon the rock. And God says, here's how you're going to know this rock. You're going to look, and there were going to be many rocks around them. But here's how you're going to know this rock. I will stand upon the rock. Now, what way God stood upon this rock, I don't know. But God said to Moses, I will stand upon the rock. And you'll see me there. God identified Himself with this rock. And He stood upon this rock, you see. There were many rocks, but God chose this one. The choice was God's. And He also chose the distance, because in verse 6, it was a rock in Horeb. And the word Horeb means a dry place, or a barn, or a desert. Now, to many people, this was going to be an unlikely place to find water. Out in the desert. Out in the dry place. Out, in a sense, in the wilderness. Yet, this was the very place where God chose to give water. But I want you to see plainly that the choice of this rock was God's. God says, get the Horeb. I will stand upon the rock. There will be one rock. And that's where you'll get the water. My friends, this was God's plan. This was God's idea. This was God's choice here. And the Bible says, and that rock was Christ. Like this rock, the Lord Jesus was chosen by the Father to be the Savior of the world. Christ was elected. Christ was chosen by the Father to be the rock of our salvation. And you can read that in the Bible. You can read that in Isaiah 42 and verse 1, a prophetic statement concerning Christ. Behold my servant who I uphold, mine elect, in whom my soul delighteth. And here he's speaking of Christ, my chosen. And God is saying through the prophet, I have chosen the rock. I have chosen Christ. I have chosen the Savior. And there is one Savior. And there are not two Saviors. Like there was one rock in the times of Moses, there is one Savior. And God has chosen His Son to be the Savior of the world. And you can read that in 1 John 4 verse 14. God, the Father sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. And friends, not one of the Saviors. There are not many Saviors. But God sent His Son to be the Savior. That God has chosen the plan of our salvation. He has chosen the rock for our salvation. And it is His Son, the Lord Jesus. And there is none other. And the choice is His. Like He chose a rock in the times of Moses, He has chosen Christ to be the Savior. And the Bible tells me the identification of God with Christ in 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 19, to wit, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto Himself. And there we have this identification. God was in Christ. God was upon the rock here in Exodus 17, and the Lord was standing with Christ, and He is saying to the world, He is the Savior. He is the only Savior. He is the one that I have chosen, and He is the one that I have sent. And dear friends, God chose Christ to be the Savior. And He chose the district as well. The rock was in Horeb. He chose the place, Jerusalem. In Matthew 27, verse 33, and when they were come unto a place called Golgotha, that is to say, a place of the skull, God even picked the hill of Calvary. He picked the very place where Christ would die and where Christ would shed His blood. It was not picked by the priests. It was not picked by the Romans. It was not picked by the apostles. No, God chose it. And God said upon the hill of Calvary would be the death of the rock of salvation. Oh, dear friends, the choosing of this rock. Oh, to many people would say, how can a dead man save us? How can one save us who died and shed His blood? God chose this way. This is the only plan of salvation. There's no other plan of salvation. There's no other rock of salvation. There's no other Savior in this world but Christ. And God has planned it all. He chose the rock here in Exodus. And He sent His Son to be the Savior of the world. The choosing of the rock, it was God. But I want you to notice secondly the smiting of the rock. If you look closely at verse 6, you will see how water was to be obtained from this rock. It says in verse 6, and I shall smite the rock. If there was no smiting, then there was going to be no water. And that command is clear enough. And God says on to Moses, get to the rock and smite the rock. But the rock must be smitten. And if you don't smite this rock, there'll be no water. And so Moses had to go, as we'll see, and he had to smite the rock. Now there are some lessons about the smiting of this rock. There was a rod in the smiting. Because if you look at verse 5, and the Lord said unto Moses, go on before the people and take with thee of the elders of Israel and thy rod, wherewith thou smotest the river, take in thy hand and go. And God is saying to Moses, get you to this rock that I have chosen, but here's what I want you to bring with you. I want you to bring the rod with you in your hand. And that is very clear. God is telling Moses what he had to do to get water out of this rock. He had to take the rod. And in Exodus 4 and verse 20, we're told that the rod is called the rod of God. The rod of God. And so when we put this together, we see very clearly here that the rock was smitten by the rod of God. And when Moses went up to that rock, and when he took the rod and he smote the rock, it was smitten, dear friends, by the rod of God. God was smiting the rock. God's hand was upon this rod, in a sense. And that's what he did. He went up to the rock and he smote it. No smiting. There'd be no water. It had to be smitten by the rod of God. And you know, that's the same principle when it comes to the smiting of Christ. That rock was Christ. Now I can read in the cross at Calvary how the Lord Jesus Christ died. We can read how he was interrogated. We can read how he was abused. We can read how he was whipped and how he was punched. And how he was spat upon, and how they took him and they nailed him to the cross. And friends, we can read all of these things in the Bible. But remember this, that rock was Christ. And God smote his son. Like the rod of God smote the rock in the Old Testament. The Bible tells me that Christ in Isaiah 53 verse 4, smitten of God and afflicted. The Bible tells me that the wrath of God fell upon his son. And there on the cross, he was smitten. Well, in a sense, he was smitten by the rod of God. Isaiah says it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He hath put him to grief. Christ was smitten. Christ felt the rod of God. The rod of justice fell upon Christ. He was punished for our sins. The Bible said, the soul that sinneth, it shall die. The Bible tells me in Galatians 3 and verse 13, that cursed is every one that hangeth on a tree. And the Christ being made a curse for us. And the Father then smote the Son. And the wrath of God fell upon the Lord Jesus. You see, dear friends, the rod in the smiting, it was the rod of God. And I can tell you here tonight that the Father has punished his Son. The Father's wrath fell upon Christ in a way that I cannot fully explain. But oh, it pleased the Lord to bruise him. There on the cross, Christ died for our sins. There on the cross, the wrath of God fell upon him. And he died in our place. You see, there was a rod in the smiting. God smote him. Death and the curse were in the cup. O Christ, 'tis full for thee, we were singing. But I has drained the last dark drop. 'Tis empty now for me. That bitter cup, love, drank it up. Thy blessings draw for me. The wrath of God fell upon Christ. That rock was Christ, you see. And the rod of God smote the rock. At the cross, it was the rod of God that fell upon Christ. It pleased the Lord to bruise him. Then you have the rulers in this smiting, because in verse 5 and 6, Moses is told very plainly, go on before the people and take with thee of the elders of Israel. And there he was to do it. And Moses, end of verse 6, and Moses did so in the sight of the elders of Israel. So not only have we got the rod here in the smiting, we've got the rulers in the smiting. This was done publicly. And Moses was not to do this by himself. He was not sent to this rock by himself or say, well, Joshua with him. Now God tells him plainly, take the elders with you. Make sure you bring the elders of Israel with you to this rock. Now we find the other passages in Exodus 24 and verse 1. And Moses, it talks about Aaron and Eab and Abihu and a 70 of the elders of Israel. Seemingly there were 70 elders. And in Exodus 24 verse 9 you have it again. It talks about 70 of the elders of Israel. And so there were 70 of these men. And in other words, well, There were many witnesses. This was not done, friends, in a corner. This smiting of a rock was not done privately. No, this smiting of a rock was done publicly. And God says, take the elders with you. And we notice here in these passages in Exodus, well, that there were 70 of them. And 70 of these elders went with Moses, and they all gathered around this rock, and they all watched Moses. And every eye was upon him, and he lifted up the rod in the sight of all the elders, and he smote the rock. Because the rulers were there. And it was done publicly. And all the elders could see this great miracle that was being done there in the wilderness, in the smiting of the rock. They all watched this. The rod was lifted up, and Moses got that rod, and he smote the rock in the sight of them all. Oh, dear friends, remember our text. And that rock was Christ. What a picture we have of the death of Christ here upon the cross. Many eyes were upon him as he hung upon the cross. And when Christ died, it was not done privately. No, friends, it was done publicly. On the sight of many people. In fact, the Bible says in Matthew 27, verse 36, and sitting down, they watched him there. They sat down around the cross and they watched him. They watched him being smitten. They watched the wrath of God falling upon Christ. They watched, friends, the shedding of his blood. That rock was Christ. And the chief priests were there, and the elders were there, and the people were there, and the soldiers were there, and they're all gathered around Christ the rock when he was smitten. You see the picture of Christ here in the Old Testament? He was smitten publicly. The rulers were gathered around him, and here he is at Calvary, and they're all gathered around him, friends. And that rock was Christ. Think of the restriction in the smiting. If you notice carefully the words to Moses in verse 6, and thou shalt smite the rock. You see, just the one smiting of the rock was needed. And God is very clear in this to Moses. Yes, take the rod with you, take the elders, but remember this, here was another lesson. Here was another law in a sense that Moses had to obey. God says, get up to that rock, and thou shalt smite. Just once. Just you smite that rock the once, Moses. Just smite it and you'll get water out of it. And that's what he did here. But oh dear friends, we see in another instance that Moses disobeyed this instruction. Because over in Numbers 20 and verse 78, the problem arises again. There's no water and the people are murmuring and well, the people are complaining. And what does God tell Moses to do? Well, Numbers 20, verse 7. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, take the rod, and gather thy assembly together, thou and Aaron thy brother, and speak ye unto the rock before their eyes, and it shall give forth his water. Now, that is very clear. God says to Moses, get you to the rock, he says, and speak ye to the rock. He was not to smite it. The smiting of a rock had already been done. Now he just was to speak to the rock. Now if you read on in Numbers 20, we find, and Moses took the rod from before the Lord as he commanded him. And Moses and Aaron gathered the congregation together before the rock. And he said unto them, here now ye rebels, must we fetch you water out of this rock? And Moses lifted up his hand, and with his rod, he smote the rock twice. And here is Moses coming to this rock, and he's angry. And he's cross with the people. And he lifts up his rod, and he says, ye rebels, must we bring you water out of this rock? And he takes a rod, and he smites the rock twice. He disobeyed God. And he spoils the type. Because that rock was Christ. And he smote Christ in a sense twice thence. And he ruined this great Old Testament type of Christ. Because Christ is only to be smitten once. And God told him, get up to that rock and speak to the rock. But he didn't do it. He spoke to the rock. And he ruined the type, you see. You see, dear friends, the Bible tells me very plainly that the Lord Jesus Christ, yes, he is to die for our sins. But the one smiting, the one sacrifice is all that is needed to put away our sin. Christ is not to die many times. Christ is not to be judged by the Father many times. Christ is not to suffer upon the cross of Calvary many times. No, just once. Just one sacrifice. Just one offering of his body upon the cross is all that's needed. And you can find that in the Bible. In Hebrews chapter 9 and verse 26. But now once in the end of the world hath he appeared to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. Notice the word once. Just the one smiting. In verse 28, so Christ was once offered to bear the sin of many. Just the once, says the word of God here in Hebrews. And over in Romans chapter 6 and verse 9, knowing that Christ, being raised from the dead, dieth no more. Death hath no more dominion over him. For in that he died unto sin once. Once. Over and over and over again in the word of God, we are told about Christ's death that he died once. That's all it takes. That's all it took at the cross of Calvary. To make an offering for our sin that will be accepted to the Father, a sacrifice to put away our sin, Christ died once. And that's why he cried on the cross, finished. That's why he cried out with a loud voice, it is finished. Just one smite, one sacrifice, one shedding of his blood for him. Just one death, that's all. You see, you have here the restriction in the smiting. Thou shalt smite the rock. Moses ruined the type. And I can say to you tonight, to anyone who's not saved, Christ has died once. He has done enough to save you. He has suffered for sinners. A terrible, terrible death. He will not have to die again. That's why we do not believe in the Mass of the Roman Catholic Church. They believe it is a continuation of the sacrifice of Christ. And the priest teaches the people by taking the bread and the wine, he's continuing the same sacrifice that Christ made on the cross. And that's an abomination to God. Christ has died once, and yet the Roman Catholic priest, in a sense, he's taken up the rod, and he's smiting Christ, and he's smiting Christ, and he's smiting Christ, and it's all over, friends. The smiting has been done. The work for our salvation has been finished. You just had to trust Christ and he'll save you. God has given the law here to Moses about the smiting of this rock. And he had the rod and the rulers. Ah, friends, he had the restriction. Just smite it once. And yet, Lord, Christ has died for you. No other death now is needed. No other sacrifice do I need, friends. On Christ, the solid rock, I stand. All other ground is sinking sand. It's finished. You see, you had the smiting of the rock. Can I say to you something about the flowing from the rock? Because in verse 6, it tells us, and in very few words, I must say, of what really happened. It says, behold, I will stand before thee there upon the rock in Horeb, and I shall smite the rock, and I shall come, and there shall come water out of it, that the people may drink. And Moses did so in the sight of the elders of Israel. Now, it doesn't tell us very, very much about what really happened. It says, God told them to smite the rock. And then it tells us here that he did it. But I can tell you this, the Bible tells us something more. about the flowing from this rock. We find in the Word of God it speaks about the portion of it. Because in Psalm 105 and verse 14, Psalm 105 verse 41, it says, He opened the rock, and the waters gushed out, they ran in the dry places like a river. That's what happened. He's opened the rock. And it says here in Psalm 105, well, the waters gushed out. And they gushed out and they ran in the dry places. And it tells us here in the Word of God, like a river. Like a river flows. This is no little stream. Sometimes we think he smote the rock and everybody went up with their saucepan or their kettle and they got a wee bucket of water and so on and they all went home and they all got the water. That is not the case here at all. It tells us here about the portion of the supply. Hey, the waters gushed out. And the Bible tells us here, well, it was like a river. But the great supply came out of this rock. Now someone has calculated. Because there were 2 million people, because of the livestock and everything that was there at that time, that the people would require 11 million gallons of water per day. Now you need to talk to Bertie Spears, he could tell you about it right or not. But that's what they reckon. 11 million gallons for the basic things, like drinking and washing and cooking and so on. And then you had the livestock. Now you're beginning to see something of the portion of water that came out of this rock, you see. There was a great portion come out of this rock that met the need of all the people and all the animals in every way, you see. Oh, dear friends, can I say to you of Christ, everything you need is found in Christ. There's a great flow comes out of Christ. Forgiveness of sins, you'll find us in the flow that comes from Calvary. You'll find peace with God tonight. Are you looking for peace? Are there someone this week convicted of their sin and not happy in this world? And you're looking for peace, you'll find it with Christ. And everlasting life is found with Christ, you see. The portion of this supply, wonderful and bountiful supply, we sing. It was a great portion. Remember the Lord said to that woman in John 4, verse 14, But whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. But the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life. Oh, friend, he who comes to Christ shall never thirst. Christ satisfies. They can satisfy your need tonight on Satan in this meeting. The world will not do it. You've tried it. The world will not make you happy. But none but Christ can satisfy. And there's no other name for me. Think of the period of this supply. It came in the time when the people were murmuring. They murmured against Moses. You read that in verse 3. They were fighting. Moses had to cry to God, and Moses cried on the Lord. The people were ready to stone me. They were all unbelieving. They said in verse 7, Is the Lord among us or not? They said, Well, is God with us, people? But I want to tell you this in great mercy. God gave them water. And there's a great picture, friends, of that for us. Christ died for the ungodly. It is for sinners that Christ was smitten, that He died in our place, that He can give you everlasting life. Oh, dear friends, the period of this supply, it was an evil period. It was sin that abounded among the people, and yet there was water supplied. There's mercy tonight for you if you're not saved. There's forgiveness tonight. You have lived your life in sin and far away from God, but there's a Savior. There's one who died, one who can save you tonight. If you come and trust Him. Think of the partaking of this supply. The people had to come and drink out of it. Wasn't enough just to know about this water. Say, well, there's water up the road. Now, that was no good. That was good news, by the way. But to get partake of this water, you had to go to the rock. And you had to take the water. And you had to bring it home. You had to make it yours, friends. And that's the same with salvation. It's not enough to say, I know about Christ. I know He died. I know He can save. No, friends, you must come to Christ. You must repent from your sin, you see. You must come to the Lord Jesus Christ. One writer has said, God never saves a spectator. No, the people to get this water had to come for it. Do you want everlasting life tonight? Do you want to be saved? Do you want to go to heaven, friends? Then you must come to Christ. That's what you've got to do to be saved. To leave the world and leave sin and come to Christ. And if you come to Him, you'll get the water of life. You come tonight, He gave it to you. The price of this water to the people, it was all free. They didn't have to pay for it. God provided for them. And that's a great lesson, friends, of salvation. Salvation's free. In Revelation 22, verse 17, and the Spirit and the Bride say, "Come." And let him that heareth say, "Come." And let him that is athirst come. And whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely. And here's God calling out to the people in the last book of the Bible. Whosoever will, let him come. Let him come tonight, He says, and take the water of life freely. That cost you a penny. Because Jesus paid it all, friends. And salvation is free. And if you come tonight, He will save you. Would you come and trust Christ? I urge you tonight to leave your sins and to repent and believe the gospel. If you come just the way you are and say, "Lord, I want You to wash me. I want You to cleanse me, Lord Jesus. I want You, Lord, to save me." He'll save you tonight. Would you not come and trust Him? Would the people not be foolish in the times of Moses, knowing there was water, and not go for it? Would you not say to me tonight, "No, old well, there were foolish people. They heard about the water. They heard about the rock being smitten. They heard about the supply that God gave, but they wouldn't go for it." There's many sinners like that in this meeting. You've heard about Christ being smitten. You've heard about His blood that can cleanse you and save you. But you won't come to Him to receive the blessings that He made for us in Calvary. Come tonight and trust Him. The rock was Christ. Are you building on Christ for eternity? Are you trusting Him? There are many in this meeting tonight can say, "On Christ, the solid rock I stand. All other ground is sinking sand. I need no other argument. I need no other plea. It is enough that Jesus died and that He died for me." Because we're on the rock, which is Christ. And I'd love you to come and trust Him tonight. If anyone has any questions, maybe you're thinking about being saved, why not come tonight? Speak with me at the door. Go out and come in. Speak to some of your family or friends who's with you, whatever it may be, some of the elders. But don't go home tonight without Christ. Settle this matter tonight, where you'll be in eternity. And come and trust the Lord Jesus, because that rock was Christ. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank You for Your help and mercy. We pray You bless the word to the hearts of Your people. Bless the hearts of the unsaved also. May they build their whole hope for eternity on Christ the rock. But thank You that He has died and He's put away our sin by the sacrifice of Himself. Well, thank You we can come even tonight and partake of the great supply that comes from Christ. Draw the unsaved to Yourself and let them be saved by Thy grace. Bring us to our homes now in safety and keep us safe. Lord, until we meet again in this house, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.